March 10th, 2023. Halfcast 417, episode 417. Let's go. Of course, I have a few things to share with you guys. An evening of reflection. Shall we? Missouri women charged with murdering 5-year-old by allegedly hog-tying her to a futon and gagging her with a sock for stealing food. How did we get here? I don't know who convinced these women or how they convinced each other that this is the best way, the only way, to chastise a child, because being bound and gagged is a complete and total nightmare for grown adults, let alone a 5-year-old. Is not what you associate with child rearing and parenting, is what you put in a box with torture and torment. Two women in Missouri were arrested this week on a slew of felony charges for allegedly killing a 5-year-old girl who was hog-tied and gagged with a sock in her mouth in an effort to prevent the child from stealing food, police said. First off, intruders steal. A 5-year-old child that lives under your roof is doing nothing more than sneaking snacks. So you do one of two things. Either you put the snacks away or you feed the child because they're probably hungry. And the way the story is reading, most likely that girl was hungry. Angela West, 40, and Shamira Buford, 36, were taken into custody on Tuesday and both charged with second-degree murder, first-degree involuntary manslaughter, abuse or neglect of a child resulting in death, and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child in connection with the little girl's death, authorities announced. So now the question should be, what was going on within that household that tying up a child and stuffing a sock in her mouth is on the table as a form of punishment? What other penalties, what type of minefield did these kids have to navigate on a day-to-day basis? According to a press release from the Waynesville Police Department, on the morning of March 7th, a young student contacted a Waynesville school resource officer and reported that prior to arriving at school, he saw that his younger sister was unconscious and unresponsive on the floor in their home. The resource officer immediately contacted the police, who responded to the residence located in the 700 block of Washington Street, which is about 140 miles southwest of St. Louis. That's very forward thinking by that child to understand that there was something very wrong with his little sister. And if he couldn't contact 911 flat out, then the next best thing would be to tell an adult at the school, because if these women were left alone with that girl's body for a full school day, no telling how they would have tried to cover it up. Upon arriving at the home, first responders say they made contact with another one of the reporting child siblings. The second child answered the door and stated that her younger sibling was deceased inside the residence. This is a house full of kids that have to witness this. Officers made entry and confirmed that one person, a 5-year-old female, was unconscious and unresponsive, the release states. After the Waynesville officers secured the area, the victim was pronounced deceased on the scene by Pulaski County Coroner Roger Graves. So the difference between first-degree murder and second-degree murder: first-degree murder means that you flat out intended to kill someone. Second-degree murder means that they died as a result of what you did. This might be the worst case of second-degree murder that I've ever heard, because they hog-tied this little girl and stuffed a sock in her mouth and walked away from her. Nobody checked on her. They just left her to die. The two adult females in the residence, later identified as West and Buford, were subsequently taken into custody and transported to the Pulaski County Jail. County Circuit Judge Colin Long ordered both of the defendants to be held without bond pending additional proceedings. According to the report, West and Buford were both asleep when police arrived at their home around 8:50 a.m., and the child who answered the door told the officers that their younger sibling had choked. It was reportedly Buford who then found the child's body covered by a blanket in the living room. You know what's nasty about this is that with two adults in the household, they both had to be on board with this. Not one of them said, hell no, you're not going to do this to that child. They both went to sleep when the cops came. They were still in bed, not a care in the world. Police said that the deceased girl appeared to have significant ligature marks around her wrists, ankles, and neck. She was struggling. A gray sock that was saturated in an unknown substance and appeared to have blood on it was found next to the child's body. Columbia ABC affiliate KMIZ reported. The child, who made the initial report, allegedly told police that both women had been tying up his little sister at night for several weeks because she steals food, KOLR reported. Another child reportedly said Wes and Buford would make the five-year-old siblings help tie her up to a futon. These women are savages. These women are monsters. Whatever the max penalty is, it's not enough for them. This girl was not stealing. She was hungry. And instead of giving her a snack before she went to bed, you invited her own siblings to help torture her. According to KOLR, Buford admitted to police that she and Wes would tie up the five-year-old because she continued to steal food. So putting the food away or just giving her something to eat before she went to bed, that did not cross their minds. This is what they came up with. They allegedly began by using duct tape and eventually moved on to hog tying the child using nylon rope. Buford also allegedly admitted that they used the sock to gag the child because her whining and crying kept the other children up at night, reports say. There's no reality, there's no scenario that I can run through in my head that would justify such severe, brutal punishment of this little girl at the hands of the people who were closest to her. I thought she was okay because she could breathe through her nose, Wes reportedly said in a reference to the sock. Let's test that theory. Let me put my hands over your mouth for 5, 6, 7 hours and see how you make out. Buford and Wes are scheduled to appear before Judge Long for a bond review on March 13th, court records show. Next up, elementary school employee fired after allegedly caught drinking alcohol in the classroom. If I can't drink in class, how the hell am I gonna teach? A paraprofessional working at the Cobb County Elementary School in Georgia has been fired and charged for allegedly, if you could smell the alcohol, there's nothing alleged about it. That's Traveler's Club drinking in the classroom. A particular incident that occurred on March 3rd is referenced in the warrant. Particular means one time. How many of you think that teacher been getting right for the whole school year? Just a taste. Jean Warnken was named Employee of the Year in 2020. Now you know why. However, she is now being accused of having a reusable plastic with a lid and straw full of alcohol in a Davis Elementary School classroom, according to WSB-TV. The school's principal, Kristen Epscorn, and the campus police officer, somebody dimed her out, were both listed as witnesses for the state on the warrant. You're dealing with a culture of children that's looking to try your patience so they can get your response on TikTok, and you mean to tell me you teachers aren't microdosing mushrooms, taking edibles, or having a sip between classes? Take the edge off. You're lucky she wasn't doing lines off the desk. On Thursday, Cobb County Schools issued a statement and indicated that Warnken is no longer employed at Davis Elementary. The statement read, although this person no longer works for the district, Cobb Schools Police and local administration are working with a police investigation into a paraprofessional. We expect all employees to support students as professionals and uphold district policy. Wait a minute. Although she was wrong bringing alcohol into the classroom, I don't blame her, but she was wrong. I don't think this was a case where she might have been offering alcohol to the students. We would have been known already. So what's more to investigate? She might never teach again. That's that. They just sent an email saying there was an investigation going on, but didn't mention exactly what it was. Parent Deborah Kaufman told Channel 2's Michelle Newell, it's obviously concerning. She's probably not doing a great job with the class. She was probably doing an excellent job unless she's an angry drunk. Until someone dimed her out, let her cook. The arrest was shocking to some parents. One said they thought Warnken was a highly respected school employee, reported WSB-TV. The district is said to have not released specifics about Warnken's role while employed with the school, but she is listed as a computer lab instructor. What? And nobody else will be getting blitzed working in a computer lab. Warnken has been charged with alcohol possession on public school grounds. Here's a plot twist. She was set up. A lot of enemies when you make Teacher of the Year as a computer lab instructor. It's a dirty game. Next up, 7 months pregnant woman shot dead in Chicago after allegedly attempting to rob drug dealers. This is sad. It's very tragic because neither the young lady nor her baby ended up surviving the shooting. And it's also a reality that we don't always get a chance to live and learn through the bad decisions that we make. We don't always get a chance to survive through through our bad choices and mistakes, not all of us get that opportunity. A woman who was 7 months pregnant was shot and killed after her botched robbery attempt sparked a gunfight during a drug deal in Chicago. Authorities said Genesis Escobar was shot multiple times on Monday afternoon in a residential area on the northwest side of the city. CBS News reported Escobar, 21, had entered a vehicle around 1 p.m. local time and announced a robbery, the Chicago Police Department said in a statement. The brutal honesty of this is when someone is living a particular type of lifestyle, nobody's going to check to see if they're pregnant. All they're looking to do is protect themselves to live another day and make sure nobody is going to take what they have. A local law enforcement official told the Chicago Sun-Times that Escobar's boyfriend, who stood outside of the car, then got into a gunfight with the intended robbery victims. Bullets hit Escobar in the back, shoulder, and hand, and authorities said she was later pronounced dead at the scene. What type of spineless, gutless coward has his 7-month pregnant girlfriend directly in a line of fire, let alone have her along for the whole ordeal in the first place? You see, the story says he didn't take not one bullet. No suspects were arrested, and detectives are still investigating the crime. Friends of Escobar told the Chicago Sun-Times that her baby did not survive the shooting. A witness to the deadly robbery attempt reportedly told CBS a person pulled Escobar's body out of the car and dumped her on the ground before driving off. This young woman's boyfriend brought her along for this robbery attempt, ultimately got her killed for it, and didn't even stick around to dial 911. They threw a bunch of money on top of her, Iris Alvarez told the outlet. Most likely the money was meant to be a statement as a way to try and deter anyone from trying the same thing. Ultimately, they used this woman as a very violent example of what can happen, why her coward boyfriend scampered off. Next up, Florida victim sucker punch man who retaliated by fatally bashing in his head with a chunk of sidewalk that sounds about room temperature for Florida. It's chestnut checkers, baby. Don't sucker punch nobody if you're not gonna knock him out. You gave that man a turn, and he took his turn way more serious than you took yours. A Florida man was sucker punched, so in retaliation, he grabbed a broken piece of sidewalk and bashed in his alleged assailant's head, killing him. Authorities said, this is why your parents always tell you, keep your hands to yourself if you can't whoop nobody. According to Miami police, two witnesses saw Albert William Bethea, 58, get struck in the neck. The neck did nothing but make him angry. Around 6 p.m. on January 25th, WPLG reported, in retaliation for the blow, the very misguided, poorly thrown blow, Bethea ran toward the sidewalk, picked up a broken piece of the pavement, and threw it at the man who struck him, hitting him in the head, police said. He ain't even give that man a chance to say, I'm sorry, I was just playing. He didn't think this through or move out the way. Police said the victim was defenseless at this point and deemed to be no longer a threat to the defendant. Officers, however, noted Bethea didn't stop there and claimed he then flung the piece of sidewalk to the side and started stomping on the victim's head with his boots. Sheesh. The victim was taken to a local hospital suffering brain bleed, among other injuries. Officials said he died on March 5th, more than 5 weeks after the attack. When Bethea was detained, he told police he had been shot in the head and was defending himself, according to WPLG. So if this man had previously took a shot to the head, when this guy sucker punched him in the neck, it probably triggered some type of PTSD where self-preservation kicked in and kicked in and kept kicking. Bethea was booked into the Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center and was being held without bond. He has been charged with second-degree murder, officials said. Fun show. Fun show. Fun show. That being said, I'm going to wrap this one up, but I'll be sure to talk to you guys very, very soon. Adios.